Recon Cast, episode 16.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Recon Cast. Just a couple of homeschool dads talking about recovering the faith for all of life. I am Joe Graham, homeschool father of 9. Joining me is my co-host, Dan Stahosky, homeschool father of 6. We're out here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, raising our families, defending liberty and justice against the overrun of humanism and the secular state. We're so glad we're back here with you guys here for episode 16. Got so much we got to catch up on and things we want to share with you today. But first, let me bring in my fantastic co-host, Dan Stahosky.
It feels great to be back in the studio with you, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. By studio, I think you mean my office and your office.
It's virtual. It's a virtual studio.
Via the interwebs. Great.
Yes. I love technology. We can take advantage of that.
Yes, it is very good. It's amazing how much we can get done. I will tell you, I totally just thought about this because you just said it, that I think that the internet is the current day Roman road.
Wow.
And this is the avenue through which the gospel of our Lord Jesus shall go forth.
I mean, you heard it here, folks. And heard it here first. And I want Joe Graham to get
first.
The credit
I don't
of
know
that.
First.
I'm pretty sure.
And so lovely voices, let's be honest here, mostly your lovely voice, will be beamed throughout the interwebs, sharing the pontifications of your mind, such amazing feats and thoughts, such as...
such as... Well, that was a softball. There it is. Here's a slow pitch. Come in, knock it out of the park. I mean,
you weren't ready for that?
No, I wasn't ready for that. I was kind of getting a little feedback in the ear. Joe Graham, we have had a great spring here in Seattle, haven't we? I mean, and so we just went to a great little local town. Parade and fair that we had out here. And my kids were super excited because when we went out to Ohio last year, and we were there for their local festivals and you know, kind of end of summer parades and fairs and whatnot. And I mean, these kids got their pockets lined with candy when they were out there. I mean, I don't know if it was something about Ohio and just being true American and just the beauty of that, but they had those packet fulls of Walmart, Costco bag of candies and just throwing them at the kids. And our kids don't get that much candy ever. And so they're just going crazy. They're just like, this is amazing. My pockets are overflowing. They've got cups full of candy stuffed in their pockets, bags full. It was a great experience. So when they heard that we were going to go to a parade here, they couldn't believe it. They're like, oh, a parade? What are we going to put all our candy in? So I gave them a couple bags, and we were kind of excited about it. And, there are a few differences between, you know, the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, and Midwest America. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say part of the most dramatic and sad differences is I think our kids got maybe 5 pieces of candy for the entire parade.
What?
Nobody had candy. Nobody was handing out candy. Nobody was passing it out. I mean, the disappointment on our kids' face. Well, they love the parade anyway, but super disappointed. And it was just kind of a rude awakening of like, wow, welcome to liberal America versus conservative America.
What has happened to our society?
Thanks, Michelle Obama, right? I mean, hey, we're going to take away candy and sugar from the public school system. And, you know, we're not going to do that anymore. No candy. So
I can tell you're heartbroken.
Well, it was shocking. It was another indication that we are in a oppressed society. Our culture is going down downhill, and what are we going to do about it, Joe? What is the call of the Christian man when you're faced with situations like that?
That you support as much as you can the proliferation of all your wants and desires in every way, shape, or form, and it starts with supporting children's desire for candy.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure we could find some organic, sugar-free, high fructose corn syrup-free, gluten-free, candy that the kids could eat, right?
Maybe, potentially, But you got to pass the proper levy so that you can get it paid for by the city.
True.
So you have to raise the tax rates a little bit, but so long as it's voluntary, I'm not worried about it.
So anyway, that was one event that happened to us recently that kind of drew us back to those memories of Ohio and the reality that we are in.
You're getting all nostalgic on Ohio.
I am. I'm getting a little nostalgic, I'll be honest. But it's moments like that when you just appreciate, good American communities.
So. Yeah, well, I will tell you that out here where we live, there is the annual 4th of July parade, which is coming up soon. And it is a sugar extravaganza.
Mm.
There is sugar flying, people throwing it. It's on the floor. People step on it. They still eat it. It doesn't matter. The kids come away with, buzzing with sugar.
So maybe what you're saying is it's just being this close to Seattle.
I'm saying that conservatism is alive and well. It's just that.
Just out on the islands. You got to get to the islands. You have to get out of the Seattle bubble.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're just so close to to King County. I think that's just killing you.
Yeah. King County. It's brutal.
Yeah. That's no good. So okay. I'm sorry about that. I apologize that your children had to suffer such injustice.
But it was a good lesson in we're persecution. Fighting.
We're defending liberty and justice against the overrun of humanism and the non-sweet state.
Yeah, so I got to teach the kids about persecution, what it means to suffer, and
real Christian virtues.
we really turned it around for a nice homeschool dad, lesson and sermon. So never miss a good opportunity, dads. Never miss a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Joe, what about you? What's been going on? You guys have been busy. But in a good way. We've had a lot going on. A lot of good content getting shipped.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of stuff over here. The things on the channel are still going well. The family is doing well. We are currently sitting for a friend of ours, a Christian family, that is going on a trip. Very nice trip. Dad was working for a really long time, and so now he's getting this good vacation time. So we're watching their dog for them while they are gone out of town. So that's nice that we get to do that for them. We've been making a lot of movements in the family economy endeavors. So
yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
I haven't talked too much about it yet, at least not publicly, but we are, we're in the military, Navy family, and approaching quickly the 20-year mark, which means for us, the potential for a retirement and pension.
Yep.
And so weighing our options and preparing for, various contingencies. We're kind of seeing how we can, as a family, collaborate to create an economic system. So some of the ways we're doing that is through Reconstruction Life, through YouTube, through some of those areas, through the book, through the catechism book, and we have got other things in the works there. And I think, I think the potential still exists there. It's good for that one. But really what I want is I want multiple streams. I want multiple areas where I'm not consistently, just depending on one.
Sure.
But one area that we are kind of focusing on right now is the real estate. So we're kind of trying to see if we can work together on a family real estate endeavor. So my son and I right now are kind of prepping that piece. So we're kind of preparing to do some mailers and things like that in our area, targeting some homes that we think are probably have some, you know, the potential to maybe be sold to us.
Okay. So that's
working,
cool.
Working financing, working deals, preparing marketing materials, things like that. So seeing if we can get that going and maybe get a little bit of income from that. So that's kind of the family economics piece. And, you know, I mean, we could talk about some of the ideologies behind family economics. And I do know there are other dads out there who are, as we say, always working on their side hustle, which I was introduced to. There's actually a podcast on side hustles. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it's actually
Is that what it's called?
It's actually really good. It's called Side Hustle Nation, and I was introduced to it by our friend Mike Thompson, who was actually our last guest on episode 15. So Mr. Thompson is kind of in the same situation that I'm in, military guy looking at getting out here in the near future potentially and kind of thinking about, hey, what are the ways that you can potentially create something on the side. So Side Hustle Nation is about people just kind of trying to create in their margins supplemental income. He's got so many good ideas on there, amazingly
That's
great
awesome.
Ideas on tons of stuff. Good podcast. I listened to it. So I think it's good. So anyway, we're kind of thinking about that in that family economics endeavor.
Very cool.
Something you thought about. And we've talked about this a little bit, Dan.
Absolutely.
You know, we haven't talked about it here on the show, but we talked about creating supplemental streams and things like that, right? So it's been on your mind.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's got to be on all of our minds. You know, taking care of the home and the family and setting us up to be well cared for is obviously on everybody and all of our minds. And so, I mean, it's part of being part of living into the calling of being a husband and father. And some of us have to learn a lot on the street, so to speak. And then others, you know, don't ever, you know, second guess if you have been taught about this at an early age, what a benefit and what a blessing that is, because, and then to be passing it on, right? As we learn, we need to pass on, because as a body of believers, the ability to build these things together and really work within the faith, I think is a principle I've been thinking about a lot. And I know there's a lot of different things about that and ways around how to do that well. But the ability to support each other and really care for each other first and foremost, I think can really go a long way to building strong communities, strong Christian communities that have influence. And it starts with the family, and then it goes to your neighbors and your community and like-minded brothers and sisters who are seeking to just establish family businesses or other incomes that can really benefit each other, but then they can turn around and do it as a ministry to the communities because they do it really well and they become the leaders in that community through that. I think it's a great way actually to be influencing smaller communities, smaller towns, and start to impact impact those communities. So, Joe, I think that's great. I look forward to hearing more and seeing more on your Reconstruction Life website and stuff as you go through that.
Yeah, and I actually believe in this idea about the family businesses so much that I would love to actually hear from any of our listeners out there who are engaged in a family business or are getting started on a family business, because I would love to just talk to you and just kind of pick your brain about what are your convictions and why are you doing this and what ways you're doing it. Because I do really believe that that us as Christians, like, we have the tools and the keys to run really great businesses, you know, that the business principles are built on Christian values and Christian principles. And so we, of all people, should be the best at being able to express that and find out how to make businesses successful. And so if there are people out there that are doing it, and I know you're out there, then by all means, reach out to us. Email me, extremedad at reconstructionlife.com, or you can email Dan at dan@reconstructionlife.com, and we would love to have you here on the podcast. Cool?
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to do that. That'd be great.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to be right back here. We're going to go to a break. Hey, I want to ask you all to go ahead and share the podcast with your friends. Let your friends know, you know, that, hey, a couple homeschool dads are out there podcasting, talking about homeschool dad type stuff. And I want it to be a blessing to other dads out there. And I know there are moms are listening too, and that's fine. We want you to listen as well. But I am targeting the dad audience specifically because I want to inspire these other men. I want to inspire them to lead their families, lead with humility, and lead in the grace of our Savior Jesus. All right, so we will be back here in just a moment. All right, stay tuned for more ReconCast. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us here at ReconCast. This is part of Reconstruction Life, and Reconstruction Life is all about us encouraging families and building family bonds. And what that just means is that dads are involved. Me and Dan here on talking about as homeschool dads about the things that we're facing with as far as wives are concerned, the stuff that they're thinking about, raising their kids and raising their homes and being a caretaker over the things that are important there in the home. And then even for kids, man, kids, they're learning stuff. They need to be applying the things that they're being taught. All this stuff is part of Reconstruction Life. Us as families gathering together and building our family bonds, which is why we wrote our ebook called Building Family Bonds, 5 Ways You Can Bring Your Family Closer Together. I want everyone to get a chance here to sign up for our ebook and hear about the things that we're talking about here at Reconstruction Life. Super important. I think it's really valuable for everybody to understand and be a part of. So please go to our website, www.reconstructionlife.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get that ebook for free, and you can check us out on YouTube. We just showed up on Facebook, but bam, can you believe it? We're on Facebook. I know, Dan just found out the last week, so, but no big deal. Anyways, but we're out there, and we're trying to serve you guys. We want you guys to hear about this message, and we really, really, really just want to encourage everybody, okay? We're looking around, and we're seeing that the world is broken around us, but we have not been left without a victory, without a hope, and that hope exists in Jesus Christ and in His Spirit through who empowers us. So, everybody, I want everyone to hear about this message, and I want you to be encouraged. So join us here. Thanks so much for listening to ReconCast, and keep tuning in. All right? Thanks so much.
My name is Andrea Schwartz, and I have been active in Christian education for over 35 years, having homeschooled my 3 children all the way through high school. Now that they are all graduated and grown, I spend my time mentoring women, helping them become the best teachers for their children. I hold online office hour meetings every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time using the Zoom platform. These get-togethers provide homeschooling moms the opportunity to ask questions and get advice in areas they may struggle with as they educate their children. And for those contemplating homeschooling, they can discover how to get started and stay the course. Each week, I will cover a specific area, but the bulk of the time will be spent addressing issues most pressing to you. These meetings are free, but you must register to participate. Search on Facebook for the event entitled Weekly Office Hours with Andrea Schwartz, and then click on Get Tickets.
All right, guys, we are back here from the break. Thanks so much for sticking with us. Now, we're going to get back into the bits that we are famous for. Famous, I will say. Dan, you know we're famous.
Joe, we keep getting we get feedback all the time saying, hey, come on, guys, give us the bits. We love the bits.
We want the bits, yeah. So, and I know that because of, just like you said, that you know what? Guess what? Other dads, they're facing the same kind of stuff that we are. Okay?
They got
wives. They got kids. And kids say some pretty wild stuff. So right now, we're going to get into one of our our famous bits, Worst Week Excuses. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, brother. All right, I'm going to go up here first. So,
kick it off.
What I'm going to tell you is that this excuse does happen to come to the forefront pretty regularly. We have a visitor that shows up in our home, and he has a name, and his name is Mr. Nobody. Mr. Nobody,
that dastardly
character. He's always around, you know? And you know what he's always doing? Breaking stuff, eating stuff, leaving stuff out. He just leaves. He leaves shoes all over the place. He leaves socks, you know, in random spots.
Wow.
He eats our cookies. He eats our chips. I can't believe this guy.
He's everywhere, and at the same time, he's nowhere.
I've never seen him, but I've seen his aftermath, okay? And he's Mr. Nobody. Okay, now Mr. Nobody usually makes an appearance, or at least we know the evidence of him existing. Usually happens something like this: why are there no cookies left in this bag? And I'll ask the kids, I'll be like, hey guys, anybody know why there's no cookies here? I don't know. Well, did anybody eat any of these cookies? No. No, I know. What's a cookie? I have no idea. Whatever.
Joe, I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty unique scenario to you guys. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll just say, I guess Mr. Nobody was here.
Wow.
That's weird. A little odd. You know, I didn't think he was coming back, but that's okay. Have no fear. We know what to do. Now, this is the question, Dan. Do we know what to do when Mr. Nobody strikes? And I'll tell you, this is not as easy as it seems to handle the Mr. Nobody. So I've had to think about this, and I've had to pull in some bigger dogs in this fight to figure this out, because honestly, I was a little bit stumped, because if I have no confession and I have no evidence, but yet there was a crime...
Yeah.
That was committed. There was a theft that occurred. Then what do we do? What do we do? And this is what I found. And I had to quote the famous Rush Dooney. Okay.
Yeah.
So in Rush Dooney, in his Institutes of Biblical Law, Volume 2, he has a section where he talks about community and crime. Okay. And in community and crime, he talks about the community of the atonement. And he's basically talking about how he quotes Deuteronomy 21, verses 1 through 9. And that's the example where they have an unsolved murder. And in the unsolved murder, he talks about that there has to be atonement that's made for this crime where they cannot find who the perpetrator is. So even though they can't properly find out exactly who's culpable, there still has to be atonement that's made, and the community is the one who bears the responsibility for atoning for it. So he says here that in the community of the atonement, all crime must be atoned for. Every crime, every sin is an offense primarily against God's order, secondarily against man and the natural order. As a result, any crime which is unsolved requires restitution and must be dealt with. So, the good news is that even though we don't know who the criminal is with Mr. Nobody's appearance, we do know the community that is collectively responsible for overseeing that there is no theft that occurs. So,
So
we just end up sharing the guilt for it as a community, so everybody becomes partially responsible for Mr. Nobody's actions, and restitution is taken from their wages, and that's what we do. That's what we do. So that's kind of a long excuse, but you know that's kind of the way that we handle this community problem.
No, I actually really appreciate how you you brought that biblical law to bear, and really the weightiness of the fact that it's now shared by everybody does and will, I believe, weigh on the mind and the conscience of the offender. And Lord willing, that'll bring about confession, and then that'll bring about proper restitution. So that's how the law word of God works, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So cool.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. What do you got, brother? Well,
mine's maybe a little briefer than that, but you know, we all have kids that have great emotions, and they come out and show at very special times. And you know, for those of dads who have daughters, this will probably ring true for you guys. Or ring.
I got a few of those.
So I've got one of my daughters. She's a 6 year old, and I love her to bits. They're all amazing children. And the other day, that one of, you know, she was having just a kind of really hard morning, and wasn't really respecting her mom or her dad. Just kind of really struggling to control the emotions. And so I went over to her and I said, "Hey, honey, you know, what is going on? What's happening here? Can you talk to me? Tell me." And she goes, "Dad, you just don't remember anything about me." Oh, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I kind of remember a few things. I remember when you were born. I remember how you grew up on the property we had out there. And, you know, so I listed off these things about her. And she stops me and says, "Dad, you just don't get it." And remember, 6 year old. I didn't think I was going to get that till maybe, you know, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. She stops me in my tracks and says, "Dad, you just don't get it." She says, "Dad, I'm the sensitive one. I'm just very sensitive right now." And I was like, "Oh man, it's too early for this. Okay. Well, then I guess that is a legitimate excuse to go ahead and keep disrespecting your mom and me and all those others, because yeah, you're sensitive. Or we could learn how to work with those sensitivities and still kind of respect your parents and your family and others." So, but it gave me, I at the moment I was very, very compassionate and still am, but it did give me a lot to kind of chuckle about later on. So that was a good excuse.
Yeah. That was good. That was interesting. So I'm wondering if the sensitivity comes more from your side or your wife's side.
Yeah. Well, next bit. What do we got lined up, Joe?
Okay. All right. Next bit. Kid
Sorry,
theology.
Audio is cutting out a little bit there.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me? Can you still hear me? Yeah. Technology. The Roman check, road check. Has cracks.
check. That's funny.
Okay. So kid theology here. So this is our other half of our fantastic here, dad bits. So for kid theology here, I'm just going to talk about stuff that happens that, man, kids, they just say the darndest things. Aside from them giving some very legitimate reasons for their behaviors, they also ask some pretty interesting questions, or maybe just make some pretty impressive statements. And dad, guess what, dad? You mm-hmm. need to be there to kind of like circle the wagons and be able to explain to your children what's going on. So for kid theology, Mr. Stahosky, I'm going to go ahead and let you take it out. What do you got for us this week?
Yeah, well, I've got a great, I think this is a classic question here. Question came up, "Dad, do animals go to heaven?" You know, I've got our pets. We had, you know, chickens for a long time. We had turkeys. We had all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's our favorite squirrel plays in the backyard. Do animals go to heaven? And, you know, hadn't thought about that deep theological question in a while. And so I said, you know, I don't think the Bible's definitive on this or not. But I said, you know what, I'm going to look into it for you. Turns out there's actually quite a few people who would say, yes, the animals do go to heaven. couple famous names, Randy Alcorn, C.S. Lewis, other folks like that. They, you know, they'll say, yeah, pets go to heaven. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of did a little survey, and sure enough, I don't think the Bible has a definitive answer on that. I'm going with kind of saying the breath of life is in man only. And so, but I redirected her back to say, hey, you know what? Here's the real question. That's a good question. And we may not know all things right now, and there might be some of you out there who actually have a real definitive answer. Joe, you might have a good definitive answer. But I said, you know, the more important question is, are you going to be in heaven? Are you going to heaven? And so we got to talk about that a little bit. So
yeah,
kind of helping kind of redirect to what's important. It's a more of a compassionate, you know, question. It's a curiosity question around do animals go to heaven, but really let's bring it back to the heart and speak to the heart.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I really haven't thought about this much at all. But just the fact that you redirected it to your child, leads me to ask the question, what's the basis for a creature going to heaven?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I mean, obviously we, you know, we understand how that works for people, for mm-hmm. humans, but then in some sense, we also do realize and recognize that Christ came to redeem all of creation, you know, so.
Right. Well, Job 12:10 says, in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath or spirit of all mankind. So there's a little bit of a distinction there, right? The life yeah. is there of every creature, but the breath of mankind.
Yeah.
And then, but Genesis 9:16 says, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Yeah. So there's a covenant there with, around life and around all living creatures.
Yeah.
I don't know that really speaks to what happens after life.
Yeah. But I guess ultimately though, I agree with the tack that you took with it, because while it was, you know, kind of an educational theological question, the more important thing is, where are you in terms of your personal assurance, you know, aside from just the educational aspects, which, you know, we can talk about. But yeah, so kind of a little redirect, you know, and then we can kind of figure out some of these other nitty, you know, tertiary, quadriary, quintentiary.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fun question to ask, right? It's a fun thing to ponder and think about and see what scriptural verses speak to it that could be enlightening. But mm-hmm. in the end of the day,
what was the crown of the what was the crown of God's creation, right? Not the animals.
No, not the animals. Yeah.
So good. Cool. Nice work, Dad. Way to go.
Yay. Go, Dad.
Victory. All right, cool. So so for me, I had this question that came up in a family worship that we had recently. And the question was related to a discussion that we had had. You know, we had had these some sermons from our pastor that was talking about Satan coming and trying to deceive us and steal away God's truth from us, that he will even within a church or within a congregation try to take and steal away the words that are being spoke in the middle of a sermon and try to distract us and things like that. So you know, my kids were, you know, they were paying attention. I could tell they were paying attention because we came home and you know, one of the kids asked me, you know, Dad, hey, why does God let the devil deceive us? You know, why does that happen? And I was like, man, this is a massive
question.
This is a massive question. You know, I was like, well, there's a lot going on here, you know, because I'm like, well, God's sovereignty, what's happening, you know,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, means and all this stuff. And, you know, we had a nice discussion, and basically through one question, he totally derailed where I was going with my family worship. Like, it just totally went on a tangent from what we were originally talking about. But it's fine. It was fine. So essentially, you know, I just wanted to take the time to let him know, you know, kind of give some examples of how, you know, that, like, you know, most of this is going to come from based on who God is, right? And then how Satan is used, because obviously he shows up from the very beginning, you know, like he's in the beginning, he's in the garden, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
So he's a real creature. You know, he really is making an impact on us. And I guess the real question is, why does God allow him to have the control over us there, you know, or at least to try to influence us the way that he is, you know? And so, I mean, there's a lot we could kind of get into on this, but ultimately it comes down to the fact that, you know, he's using it for his purposes to buttress our faith, you know, to encourage our faith, make it, to bolster it, to make it stronger, to give us struggles, to give us temptations, you know, the vicissitudes of life, the distractions, the lies, and all those things. You know, God is using them as tools to train us into maturity,
right?
You know, and so I mean, different people are going to experience it in different ways, and all of us are certainly susceptible to it. And I think that, you know, Satan is smart, he's wise, he's wily. You know, he will attack us in the areas that we're weak, you know, and so there's a lot of reasons why God could be using that, you know, to help us be more dependent on him, to trust in him, to actually actively resist the devil's efforts. So, anyways, kind of a lot, brother, that we can get into about that. But it was a deep question. I was like, there's a lot of stuff I can get into right here.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those kind of questions that you give your initial answer, and then you chew on it a little bit, and you come back with another answer and a little bit more, and then you ask, you know, it can lead to a really kind of a multi-day kind of conversation, right? Because there's a lot, because like you said, there's a lot of facets to it. And on the spot, right in the moment, you may not have all those answers at the tip of your tongue, but you can go and read scripture and you can ask the Lord who reveals all things. Lord, what is the scope of answer that my child is really needing at this point, right?
Like, yeah.
Where is that? And that can come, and the great thing is you can come later, come the next day or the day after that, as you kind of think about it and ponder it. So
yeah, so I mean, it's great, you know. So really good stuff here for dads to kind of get into and to think about. So, So we're going to take a break here, another break. We're going to be right back. We're coming back here. We're going to talk about extreme dads, and we are going to issue the first extreme dad challenge. So looking forward to sharing this with you guys. Looking forward to talking to everybody about it. We will get more into it right after this break. See ya. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to ReconCast. Here at Reconstruction Life, we want to provide weekly material and resources of significance to families that provide immediate value and give actionable guidance to improve the communities around each of us. So we appreciate if you guys would go and check out our content. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, and we also have an ebook available for everybody that subscribes. So please go visit our YouTube channel, go like, comment, and subscribe to us, and then also go on our Facebook page, and you can like our channel. We appreciate that as well. And our ebook we wrote is about building family bonds, 5 ways you can bring your family closer together. You'll get the ebook for free as soon as you sign up. So thanks so much for listening to Reconstruction Life, and keep following Dan and myself on ReconCast. All right, thanks.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for staying with us. We have a great section here now we want to dive into, talking about being an extreme dad. And if you know much about being an extreme dad, we actually have a YouTube video out there called Extreme Dad. Joe, help me with it. It's Dude
the Backyard
Perfect
Edition,
right? Yeah, yeah, Backyard Dude Perfect Edition. Check it out. But we are serious about being extreme dads. Joe's got a whole YouTube playlist on being an extreme dad. And it's really kind of captured our imaginations around what it means to be a dad and a father and really enjoy our families. So to get us started off, I've got a couple of verses I want to read that kind of, for me, I've been thinking about these recently. It's a big topic, but let me read these here. 1 Chronicles 26 says, "Also to his son Shemaiah, your sons born who were rulers in their father's houses, for they were men of great ability." And then 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love."
Mm-hmm.
I think those are two great examples of, from Scripture, of people being extreme men, extreme dads, and living into the calling that they have to be dads. And so we have something that we want to do here on the show right now, and we want to issue a challenge. And we want this challenge to go viral. We want this thing to blow up because it is doable. It's achievable by everybody. Joe, do you want to just kind of, I'm blowing it up here. Why don't you bring it home?
This is
tell
great.
Tell us, what is this Extreme Dad Challenge?
All right. So Extreme Dad Challenge, what I would love to see is I want to see a bunch of dads out there showcasing being an extreme dad. And how I want us to be showcasing the Extreme Dad Challenge right now is, what I want to see is, I want to see dads spending time with their children, and I want to see you reading your children a story. So show us, take a picture of you with your children sitting down, you know, outside, inside, in the car, doesn't really matter. Taking the time to read them a story, crack open a book. And I say this because my children, like I'm sure all children do, love stories. They love stories and they love spending time with their dads. So they want to see you, spending time with them and reading to them. So I've done this in my home. I've done it a lot of different ways. But I think it's super, super important. And so what you can do is to take the Extreme Dad Challenge, get this picture of yourself, and then tag it, on Facebook with the, Extreme Dad Challenge, and like to see the other dads out there, and then promote it for yourself on your Twitter feeds or on your Facebook feeds. And I'm sure we'll be trending probably, could take like 48 hours, maybe max.
So I just want to say, at the time of this recording, Joe, the hashtag Extreme Dad Challenge does not exist on Twitter yet.
Well, look, there you go. See,
so
this
here
is
we go.
Totally
okay.
Organic, right?
This is gonna, we're going to see grassroots. What kind of influence we can have here as dads on the culture, and just share a great thing. So why is it so important, Joe, to be an extreme dad? So we've got this challenge out there, posted out there on Twitter, Facebook, hashtag Extreme Dad Challenge. All one word, Extreme Dad Challenge. But what is it about being an extreme dad that captures your excitement, your enthusiasm, and is something that you say, you know what, this gives me purpose and motivation?
Well, what I see is that that the leadership that's exhibited by men, that should be exhibited by men, is so important. It was important to me in my life from my father. It's certainly important to my children as well. And you know, there's a lot of stuff that we could say about what leadership looks like, what masculinity looks like, what fatherhood looks like. You know, whether it means just just brash standoffishness that is, you know, kind of aloof and just strong and hard, or whether it means incredible sensitivity and compassion and crying, over things, you know, and I, And I kind of want to bring up these dichotomies of the polarization, because I think that manhood exhibits both. So yeah. What I would love to see is extreme dad challenges that both exhibit, the true biblical masculinity that God foresees for dads, that they're raising their children up in nurture and admonition. So extreme dad challenge number one is kind of about nurture, right? It's about sitting down quietly with your kids and nurturing their hearts, shepherding their hearts. You know, maybe extreme dad challenge two could be something, you know, like throwing your kid as high as you can in the air or something like that, you know, but maybe that might not be.
Maybe not.
I'm not saying that it is. But essentially, you know, that, you know, our children need us. They really, really need us. Our wives need us. So extreme dad is about kids. It's also about wives too. And then, an extreme dad's also has to do about with being a brother, to your fellow Christians, to your rest of your family. So it's going to be extensive. It's going to be expansive. But right now, this is where we're at. This is what we're starting with. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with. You know, if the most creative picture that I see on there, I think we'll probably give a shout out to in a future episode. I think it'd be pretty interesting to see, you know, a dad reading to his children, you know, on the top of a mountain or something like that. Like, that could be pretty epic.
That'd be pretty cool. I mean, and so for me, I mean, why don't we call it just the dad challenge or just being a dad? And I think that for many of us, and I'm sure this is true for so many of us, our daily schedule, Monday through Friday, is we wake up before the family, we probably have breakfast on our own, and we're leaving the door as the kids start to wake up, and you know, that's our morning routine with our kids. And then we're gone for the day, we come home. Sometimes we come home late from the office. Maybe dinner's already been had, or maybe we get the tail end of dinner. We're sitting, you know, if it's good timing on our part, we show up right as dinner is being served, and all the kids are thrilled because they're saying, "How did you know just when dinner was going to be served?" But, you know, more often than not, we're showing up after dinner's been served, and we've had to text with our wives or call with our wives and say, "Yeah, we're just running late. Please go ahead with dinner," or, you know, and, you know, and that's a disappointment. And then, you know, now we're still exhausted from the day, and it's so easy for us to at that point just kind of give up and stay either on our phones, watch, you know, check an email or whatever, just being distracted, just kind of escaping from the reality of our home life, just because we're split, our minds are in multiple places at a time, and not being present with the family, not being there as much as our kids need us, as much as our wives need us. And so when we think about being an extreme dad, it's about delighting in our families and realizing that we have a calling to those families to be the head of those families in a leadership role alongside our wives that is nurturing and loving and caring, acting like men, being strong, yet doing it all with love. And that's why it's extreme, because it doesn't just happen. We have to choose for it to happen. We have to take control of our daily schedules and say, I can decide my schedule, and I can decide what's important, and I can start to make choices that live into those important things. And it might not happen overnight, but it can happen over time if we're intentional about it. And it's being extreme, saying these things are important. And as Christian brothers, we know that our Father is an extreme Father, because He has taken extreme measures to delight in us and to love us and to serve us. And we can do the same if we follow His model and do that for our family and model to them what a loving extreme dad is. So that's what I get passionate about, and that's why I love the reminder about being an extreme dad, because it does focus me when I get home, or when I can change my morning routine a little bit to have some time with my kids in the morning, and just extend just a few more minutes each day with the children makes such a big difference with that relationship. And we can invest in them more. And then perhaps even we can get to a point, Joe, like what you were talking about earlier with the family wealth and all of just a home-based business. It's still work. I mean, there's still going to be times where you just have to be in an office, closed door, getting work done. But in the context of the family home, sounds like a great idea, right? And I know a lot of brothers who have been able to make that transition, and it's worked out really well, and it is a blessing for those families.
Yeah.
But you can still be an extreme dad without that being the solution. We have to be true to who God has called us to.
Yeah.
And live into those workplaces where God's called us to.
Yeah.
But when we're being dads, let's be extreme about it. Let's be intentional about it and really delight in those families. That's the calling that we've been given.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. That was good. That was really, really well put. So I appreciate that. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Extreme Dad Challenge. So,
I want it to start trending, and I want it to show up on like the Twitter feed, right? New hashtag trending.
Extreme Dad Challenge.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, that would be so amazing, so impressive. So, hey, I am asking for whether or not you're a dad or a mom, tell the men in your life about the Extreme Dad Challenge and tell them that they need to get on board and they need to listen to this podcast and they need to think about the calling that God has put before them and how we are helping to promote good, godly fatherhood through measures like what we're talking about now, the Extreme Dad Challenge. So it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. So thanks. Well, everybody, I thought this was great. I really appreciated everybody, tuning in with us. It was good for us to kind of get back into it. We have shows coming up for you. They're planned. They're in the queue. They're ready to go. They're in the barrel. They're ready to rock and roll. They're going to be here very soon. I can't wait to share it with you. We've got interviews coming up. Big, big, important interviews with some really important people. But I don't want you to feel left out. We've got opportunities for other people to help. We want to collaborate with you. We want to talk to you. We want to interview you. We want to know and hear what you have to say because really Reconcast and Reconstruction Life is not about us. It's about our Father and the work that He's doing in and through all of us. And so, it's about what the body is doing and how God is advancing His kingdom. And we are privileged enough to be a part of that. So that's what I want to hear. That's why I want to hear from other people, and I want to hear how God is changing the world through measly creatures like us.
Let's do it. Amen. Right. Thanks, all Joe. Right. I really appreciate that reminder.
Yeah. So we'll be back. We'll be back next time, you guys. Let's do the Extreme Dad Challenge. Sweet.
Done.
All right. Let's do it, you guys. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll talk to you later, okay?